Oh, I love that part. That's just my favorite part of the song right there. Hey guys, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the Great Pacific Northwest. We are going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're expanding your search radius, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right. And that means it means something, but something's not normal here.
There's definitely nothing normal about tonight.
That's right. Nothing is ever normal here. Normal is just a setting on the dryer.
If that. I don't use a normal setting. It just seems
I didn't say I used it. I've just heard that there's something on the dryer.
I have a peculiar setting on my dryer.
Oh, okay.
You just never know what you're gonna happen.
Glad that works out for you.
Random setting. Yeah. All right. Hey. Why don't we do a podcast of Caching in the Northwest? And folks, if you might have picked up on the fact that we messed up Wits End and you didn't know what to do, that's because I'm Chris of the Northwest.
Ooh, it's the Canadian takeover.
Something like that.
It's a monkey takeover.
It is. So Chris of the Northwest sends his regrets. He's got family obligations tonight.
Happens to the best of us.
And it happens to him.
That's right.
We are so not getting left alone again. Perfect.
Promise?
Oh, it's my favorite kind of podcast. Unsupervised, unchaperoned podcast. All right. Well, you know what? I want to send out a quick reminder that we do appreciate the support of our patrons who help to keep this podcast coming every week, whether we're supervised or not. And if you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the cachingw.com website. And folks, tonight, we're going to talk about what to do when you just can't find that geocache. So share your thoughts in the chat if you're watching live. And, I'm sure we'll share what you guys share. We love doing that.
Yeah, you just have to, be willing to admit that there are times you can't actually find the geocache. And I readily admit that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But maybe our folks in the chat room, maybe they won't admit it. We'll see. We'll see how they contribute. It's always great, the contributions from the chat room.
Yeah. You know what other contributions are great? Glows.
Glows. And, those are the geocaching log of the week. Now, technically, I suppose, you wouldn't have to be able to have found a cache to submit a glow or even submit a glow of a find. You could submit a DNF if it was a really worthy log. It's just the log that's worthy, not the find. So this week's GLOW, geocaching log of the week, is from GC2P49N, and it's Leighton found Mentur. I think that's how you say that.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. That's a French word I know. The GLOW reads, now, I like puzzle caches. I really do. I don't always get them right away, but part of the fun is keeping at it until you solve it. I find it very rewarding. And of course, when you get out in the field and actually make the find, it's that much sweeter. So I thought I'd take a crack at this one. First thing I note is there's no coordinate checker. Come on, they're free. There should be one in every cache that requires you to solve for coordinates. Rant number 237. Okay, no problem. I can do this. I've solved tougher puzzles than this one. Turns out that wasn't even close to being true. After an agonizing 2.5 weeks, I finally thought I had it. I put it on the stack for next time I'm in the area, and today was the day. I did the loop around this section of the preserve and quickly found the first three I was after. I think he means first three waypoints, is what I assume, or first three something. We'll see. Terrain 1.5 to 2.5, no sweat. Oh, first three caches, there you go. I really hadn't paid attention to the terrain on this one. Big mistake. Huge. Did you see all those stars? How did I miss them? That was an oversight I paid for in spades. After quickly finding the first three caches here today, my ego was beginning to inflate. The sharply increasing terrain took the air out of that balloon in a hurry. I hadn't even noticed that it was hot and humid today, and suddenly I was starting to sweat. At first, I was scrambling up the trail, but soon slowed down. Now, I was dripping. I was also beginning to feel the climb in my legs. You know how you get a bit clumsier when you get tired? That was me. Soon, I was sliding back. Worst of all, I was falling. That's going to leave a mark, and it's not going to be a nice one. I can't believe that there were 26 finds and no DNFs. This trail is ridiculous. I know, terrain 4.5, but I didn't know it then, and I can't believe it now. This is more than 4.5. Heck, this is about 7.5 or 8.0, maybe even a 9. Finally, I make it to the top. After 5 minutes, literally laying on the ground, trying to catch my breath, I get out the first aid kit. Totally inadequate for the damage I've done to my body. I should have brought an MD and two nurses.
Should always bring two nurses.
Well, it's, yeah. Anyway, now to make the grab and get out of here. It wasn't to be. Really? I can't find it after all that? Are you kidding me? Where the heck is it? I'm not leaving until I find it. Of course, I don't even know what it is, only that it's small and I've paid in blood to get here. Finally, after nearly 45 minutes of searching, I find it. OMG, no pen. What? I had it at the last cache. I must have dropped it when I fell. Finally, something goes right. There's one in the cache. Here we go. Oops. No ink. No! My signature is the one in red.
I bet it is. Well, that's quite the story.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, we're going to have to check out that GC code later and see what that cache is all about. But sounds like quite the event there.
Yeah, and as Chris of the Northwest is fond of saying, he can turn any cache into a full contact sport. This one sounds like the finder did the same.
All right. Well, do you want to move into our news segment, my friend?
Let's read some news. We haven't read some news in a while.
All right.
News in the caching of the Northwest world is we have a new contest, y'all. Yeah. Now, if it's a caching in the Northwest contest, that means that Canadians are welcome to enter.
That's right.
Unlike some contests. Now, we're talking about DNFs today, as Landmonkey mentioned earlier. What better time to announce our new DNF Avengers contest? Now, first of all, what's most important in a contest?
How fun it is.
Well, that's good. But really, no matter how fun a contest is, most people, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess, enter a contest for the prize.
Ooh. We're having a contest and there's a prize?
And there's a prize. You know, it just keeps getting better. Subway Mark, friend and loyal listener of the show, donated two $25 Gold Country gift certificates available to use at a number of different businesses in Gold Country. That's in British Columbia, in case you didn't know. Now, these are the first prizes, which would imply there will be more. We'll also have other geocaching trackable prizes available to our winners. So make sure you enter the contest.
Absolutely. So the question would be, how do you enter? Well,
let's keep it a mystery. That's part of the challenge.
Never mind. Okay, we're done.
No, okay. Tell them, I'm lucky.
Okay. All right. So how you enter the contest, all you have to do is share a story of an avenged DNF using hashtag DNF Avenger at CachingNW. You can email us at feedback@CachingNW. We'll reshare your story. We'll definitely share all of them on the air. You can tweet your story or a link to it if it's on your blog or whatever. And again, remember to use hashtag DNF Avenger and at CachingNW, or post your story on Facebook and tag us in it. Tag Caching in the Northwest podcast, tag Land Monkeys, Geocaching Adventures, Wits End. Tag somebody here who cares. Don't tag dog. Don't tag your grandma. Well, you can.
You can, yeah. I mean, you could even tag, you know, Ronan, I guess, if you wanted to, but
don't tag Ronan's grandma.
No.
I'm already in trouble with Ronan's grandma. I don't need any more trouble with her.
As we've learned, she's very in tune to his social media following.
That's right. But so there you go. Post at Facebook, post at Twitter, email us, share your story about avenging a DNF. Use hashtag DNF Avenger at CashingNW.
That's right. Now, every entry will receive a special DNF Avenger badge for your geocaching profile. And, you know, somebody's going to win those prizes. So if your entry is selected by our judges as a winner, ding, 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 winner to winner, chicken dinner, even better than chicken dinner, Gold Country gift certificates.
Or if you didn't win those, trackables. So
that's right.
Yeah. Cool, cool, cool.
You can't track a chicken dinner. You wouldn't want to.
You could make a trackable chicken dinner.
Oh, you could.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
What else is in the news?
Well, you know what? We've got other news. We have news from the Haliburton County Echo sharing that two representatives from that municipality's geocaching area, geocaching organization, are going to be showing up at Geo Woodstock. Geo Woodstock 18, right?
Sure.
Anyways, I'm going to get something wrong and I'm going to get in trouble. Geo Woodstock 2018. So I'm going to be there. I think Chris of the Northwest is going to be there. Hopefully some of you listeners are going to be there and you can come and find us. There's going to be a table set up for podcasters there. Come and find us. Anyways, I have gone off on a complete tangent. Let me bring it back to the news. There's also going to be people from the Highlands East community. They're going to be at the event in Ohio. And they're going to be joining a group from Manitoba who are promoting Canada as a geocaching destination. So we're going to try and get lots of Americans to come up and geocache in Canada. All right.
Awesome. And by the way, Brylang contributed that it's Geo Woodstock 16 in 2018.
Sweet. Thank you, Brylang. That's why we have a research department.
That's right.
Because I don't check any facts before I start talking. All right. Hey, the quote here from the news article is, "I believe this would be an incredible opportunity to promote the geocaching capital of Canada," said Vanier in her report. She noted that Tupper T. Turtle, the municipality's geocaching mascot, would be ready in time to make an appearance at the event. So there you go. If you want to meet Tupper T. Turtle, he'll be at Geo Woodstock.
Now, who wouldn't want to meet Tupper T. Turtle?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's like a Tupperware reference. Like that's the
geocaching. That makes sense to me. Yeah.
There you go. All right. That's that story.
Now I'm going to bring us back to Gold Country because really Gold Country is a place pretty special. Gold Country Community Society welcomes a new head to God's Country. That's in quotes. Actually, it's in single quotes. You have to open quote, God's Country, close quote. Anyway.
That's a good idea. Do that.
New head of the Gold Country community is John Hamilton. He's looking forward to giving back to local communities and boosting tourism. Now, as many frequent listeners to the show have noted, have long remembered, we've had Terry Hadwin on a few times on here talking about Gold Country.
Also God's Country, apparently.
Apparently, yes. Been a great guest on Caching in the Northwest. Loved having her on. Very informative, very popular with our audience and with us. Friend of the show. But now, after 6 years as Chief Operating Officer of Gold Country Community Society, there's a mouthful, she has moved on to pursue new opportunities. And, well, we at Caching the Northwest wish her well. John Hamilton has been appointed the new COO. He's been living and working on Vancouver Island, but says that following his appointment last month, he's in the process of moving to, quote, God's Country, unquote.
There you go. So, yeah, it's a long story. You don't need to read all of it.
No. But I was skimming there. But yeah, like I said, we wish Terry Hadwin all the best. We'll miss having her on here as a Gold Country guest. But, you know, I have a hunch that wherever she goes, geocaching just may follow. And who knows? Maybe she'll be back on the podcast someday in the future.
Yeah, looking forward to that for sure.
So congratulations to her and congratulations to John Hamilton as the new COO of Gold Country.
Yeah. In fact, I look forward to an opportunity to have John on the podcast.
Absolutely.
There you go. John, if you're listening, you're on my list, buddy.
We'd like to think that part of the success of the Gold Country Geo Tours is caching in the Northwest. It may not be true, but we'd like to believe that.
<That's> right. All right. Hey, you know what? Now This is all kinds of news, all kinds of contests. We've shared so much with you guys. Why don't we start sharing about tonight's topic?
Okay.
All right. So, listeners, if you're in your car, don't do what I'm about to tell you. But if you're waiting for the bus, if you're watching us live, if you're laying in your bed listening to the podcast because you need something to desperately get you to sleep, close your eyes. So, like I said, don't do this if you're driving. Close your eyes. Picture this. You're out geocaching. It's a lovely, lovely spring day. The sun is dappling through the leaves and the pine needles up above your head, and the birds are flitting from branch to branch, and the breeze is calmly moving its way along the path, and you're searching for the geocache. And you're searching for the geocache. And you're searching for the geocache. But you know what? You just can't find it. So what do you do?
Well, open your eyes.
Okay. That would probably help.
I mean, you had everybody close their eyes. How are they going to find a cache with their eyes shut? Maybe they're floating in a kiddie pool somewhere. You know? All right. No, but seriously, you've been searching, so your eyes have been opened. First question. Yeah. How long do you keep looking? You mentioned searching and searching and searching. Mm. How long do you keep searching before you just give up and throw in the towel?
Well, for me, it depends on a few factors. So first of all, what's the plan for the day? Am I just out looking for this one cache? I'm going to invest a lot more time in it. If I'm on a hike and I got to keep moving because I've got a destination to get to, that's going to affect how much time I'm going to spend. Hour of the day, how much daylight am I dealing with here? Am I losing daylight? Do I need to be thinking about that? The weather, the darker and rainier it is, the harder it is to search, not because of, well, partly because of a lack of light, but also partly because the wetter I get, the grumpier I get. Unless I feel like looking for a stupid geocache that I can't find if I'm wet and cold. There's that. But I'll also consider how many prior DNFs are on this cache. I'll put less time in if there's a whole bunch of string of DNFs. If I'm the first person coming up to, like, it's been found, now I'm DNFing it, I'm going to put more time in. So all of that said, my range is probably going to be somewhere to 15 to maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever looked for more than 40 minutes for a cache.
That sounds reasonable. I mean, the ultimate answer is, like with so many things in life, it depends.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And Starkcasher contributed in the chat room, just lift the darn skirt on the lamppost.
If only life were so simple. Right?
I know. Hey, but you know, that very first lamppost skirt that you ever found, did you know that those things lifted up? You know, the first one might have been a little tricky for somebody.
Yeah.
I spent too many years working in the electrical field, so it wasn't a surprise to me. But yeah, I have to say, all those factors that you mentioned pretty much apply the same. I'll put in 15 minutes is a reasonable search amount, more depending on how dedicated I am to this cache versus just one more smiley in the logbook. You know, who I'm with, weather, time of day, am I on the lunch break at work, or do I have all day to go caching?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking over in the chat here and I see Three Hams in a Row said, over four sessions, I've spent 10 and a half hours searching for one cache. Remains unfound by anyone to this day. I think I know what cache you're talking about.
Well, then, you know, I think you're justified in filing that DNF if nobody else has found that one.
Yeah, I think that's needs archive.
My frustrations are when I spend 10 and a half hours over four sessions and everybody else has found it. Then I know the problem is just me.
That can't be.
Yeah. And Ormore contributes, it depends who my caching companions are. Some of them are very determined. And that can go both ways. Sometimes I'm really happy to go with a determined finder, shall we say, because I can pretend to search for a while and let them scramble through all the blackberries and cedar bushes. Sometimes it's annoying because I just want to move on to the next cache.
Well, yeah, there's all of that, right? Keats 94 in the chat says, I have spent 2 hours looking for a cache. That was an extreme length of time. If I'm on a day trip somewhere and may spend about 30 minutes max on a cache if I can't find it. And that sounds about like the max I would normally spend.
Yeah.
He adds, if it's raining, it shortens.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And of course, Briarlink says, never throw in the towel. After all, a towel is about the most massively useful thing an interstellar hitchhiker can have.
That is true. That is true. And Starcatcher says 10 to 20 minutes per, he says per trip. So I would imagine that's like per cache.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, so we've gotten to the point here in our little story. We've decided to call it a DNF.
Yep.
Now what?
Well, you wait for a while the other people in your party try to give up, because I'm usually the first to give up the search. No, I say you log the DNF. A lot of people don't like to log DNFs. They like to log finds and only finds, but you know, there's no shame in logging a DNF. It helps the cache owner know if people are having trouble finding his cache, his or her cache. It helps other cachers know, hey, other people are struggling to find this too. So I either have to be prepared to spend extra time when I head to this location, or maybe there's actually a real problem with this cache. Because like I was teasing earlier, but if everybody else has found this cache and I just can't find it, then I start to think, okay, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I've got something wrong. And if it's a puzzle, I've solved it wrong, or things like that. So there's a lot of things, but you know, log that DNF. There's no shame in it.
I'll tell you something else. If you don't log a DNF, how are you ever going to become a hashtag DNF Avenger?
That's right. If you don't log a DNF, you can't be a DNF Avenger. And therefore, you can't win the hashtag DNF Avenger Caching in the Northwest podcast contest.
He's sad. He's very sad.
That was a very long sentence.
But it was meaningful and deep, and yeah. So glad you shared it with me
today. Unlike me. Okay.
I wasn't going to go there, but.
You know, and details are helpful. Just like we look down our nose at people that write TFTC when they find a cache, it isn't as helpful. It's helpful to log a DNF, but not so helpful if you just say, couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And moved on.
So I do try and do that. If I'm going to log a DNF, I try and put some sort of content. Sometimes it's just the amount of time I looked, but often I'll try and make comments about, you know, if the GPS was bouncy, if I felt that it was having a hard time narrowing down on a ground zero. I've thought about, but never actually written things like your hint is stupid and not helpful.
That would be something Dear Geocache Guy might post.
Might write, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. IHAM says, if you go for the same cache unsuccessfully multiple times, do you log the DNF every time you go looking for it? And I say, once again, emphatically, it depends.
Mm.
If it's rated as a pretty simple 1-1, no, I don't. I log one and I move on, and then I kind of monitor it to see what other people are doing. If it's a cache that has a lot of favorites, maybe a lot of difficulty, high difficulty rating, high terrain rating, something I know that is a difficult cache, then maybe I will. Maybe not every time, but maybe after a few more attempts and say, nope, tried four more times, still having trouble with this one. Yeah, something like that.
That's a smart way of doing it. But yeah. Probably in parallel with what you're saying, Start Cacher says, I log my first DNF and usually my second. But by the time I get to the third or fourth trip, I may not log the failure. So I get that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you've made your point. I think, and Keats was sharing very much what you were saying there earlier, Witz End, never be ashamed to log a DNF. It lets the CO know if the cache needs help or needs replacing, depending on how many DNFs there are on the page. CHAG.
Yeah. Please log the DNF, but don't necessarily log a needs archived.
Yeah. Yes. I joke about the logging needs archive. That is something I really wish people would be very tentative and hesitant to do.
I'm hesitant to do a needs archived party on a podcast. Just saying.
Yeah. In the past, I haven't been.
Hey, I had the CEO's permission when I brought it up. The one and only time.
What could go wrong?
Oh, we found out just what could go wrong. And if you listeners don't know that story, scroll back several episodes. I don't remember what number it is, but it was fun.
Yeah. Or
it was memorable.
I'll tell you what, if you don't know the story, you can hear it, just hashtag FATAS.
Yeah.
And ask us to
share. There you go. We'll there you go.
After show. All right. So yeah. So you guys are awesome in the chat tonight. Thank you again so much. You have just helped with the content here. All right. So,
So we've covered some feedback here, and we've covered some of these points, but let's go down this road.
Okay.
As you said, you're on a nice spring day and you're searching for cache, and you searched and searched. Okay. You're 45 minutes or so. You've given up. You logged the DNF. Thank you for logging the DNF. It helps. Well, it helps the geocaching community at large. And you get that blue frowny face on your map. Nobody likes those, but we all have them, hopefully. Are you done? Did you do anything else, Land Monkey?
Well, you know, I think it's valuable to maintain a bit of a list of DNF caches that that you think might be suspect, in the sense that, so let me rephrase that, not suspect in the sense there's something wrong with the cache, suspect in the sense that there's something wrong with you. So cache is where you're like, okay, everybody else is finding this. I cannot find this. So, you know, keep a list of those, and you can set notifications for that list. So when other people do find it, you get notified. So it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I found it. So that can be helpful in a few different ways. You could use that information to contact those other people and say, hey, can you just, you know, give me a nudge? I could not find that cache.
I've been on both sides of that. I have had geocachers contact me and say, hey, you just found that one and I've looked three times and can't find it. And I have contacted other cachers with the same kind of thing and said, can you give me a nudge? I don't necessarily want them to say, go to the third lamppost, you know, lift the third nail. Sometimes I do, but most of the time I just point me in the right direction. Am I doing okay? Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Very helpful. So yeah. Any other kind of follow-up we would do?
You could follow up directly with the cache owner if you think that there's a problem with the cache. Let's say you come out to a forest cache and the place has been logged and clear cut. The cache owner may or may not know that. Maybe they're not out there, haven't been out there for a little while. Maybe there's construction in the area and the item described physically doesn't exist anymore. I can tell you a story about one of my first geocaches was a pine cone with a bison tube drilled into it. And it was in a nice big tree. And it was in a parking lot that I'd passed every day on my way to work. And one day I looked over at that parking lot on the way to work, and all of the trees in that little clearing had been limbed and clear cut about 8 feet up from the ground, which made great visibility for the parking lot and people driving by. But I'm pretty sure that my geocache went through a chipper shredder and was never seen again. And if I hadn't been driving by, I wouldn't have known that.
There you go. And, you know, again, case example of exactly that kind of thing. This past Easter weekend, we were on a hashtag geocache road trip over on Vancouver Island. We're doing a series of caches along a Forest Service road. And we're noticing that someone had logged them about a week, 2 weeks before us. And so, you know, as we're going to them, we can see, yep, they found it, and we're fine. And they're all pretty straightforward. And we got to a spot and we're just having a heck of a time finding this cache. But we noticed there was a brand new ditch that had been dug and the trees on either side of that ditch area had been cut out. And there's, you know, rubbish about, and not rubbish, but, you know, tree litter. Like, clearly somebody had been in here, did some major work. And based on the very descriptive hint, the tree was not there anymore.
Yeah.
That the cache would have been in. So, you know, what was also interesting is the people who had been logging the caches before us, this is the only one there was no log. There was no DNF. There was no found it. But they had for, like, on the other side and this side of that cache. Like, okay. So we don't know that exactly. It's maybe a DNF, but
right.
we thought, okay, we looked around, we spent some time, thought, okay, well, you know, maybe, we're supposed to jump the ditch and walk through the clear cut, and it's on the first street there. So we actually tried that a little bit, spent some time and thought, you know what? I'm pretty sure this isn't here. So we logged our DNF. Well, we got home maybe a week later. We got a message directly from the CEO saying, hey, thanks for logging your DNF. I didn't know what had happened. I've been on the road and replaced the cache now. So, you know, real life case example, log your DNFs.
Yeah, very, very helpful to do that. So,
yeah.
IHAM says, if you find the cutbook Velcro or other attachment point, but no cache. Yeah.
I wonder what he's talking about.
I don't know. But contact the CEO. Log that DNF. And like you say, potentially even send a message to the cache owner and say, hey, this is what I saw when I was out there. Maybe even a picture. Can you do photo attachments in the geocaching messaging thing?
You can. And yeah. You can also do them in your logs. Now, they've made it really easy to do that with your logs. So that's definitely
something. Yeah, you could do the logs. But yeah, so.
Keats shared, I guess, along the same line of thought, I'll post a note instead of a DNF for special reasons. Mm-hmm. The major one is if I can't access the cache. It's not necessary to say I couldn't find it when I couldn't even find the access point. So
yeah.
Good point. Good point. So, you know, technically not a DNF, but, you know, did not attempt.
Yeah.
There you go. What else have we got here? So, yeah. And I think that leads into my next thought that I had in the show notes here of, you know, maybe we can talk about what kinds of scenarios differ, the situation where, you know, it might be there and I just can't find it today. So that's sort of one spectrum of the scenario. And
right.
Log your DNF to the other end of the spectrum of, for sure it's not there. So what would it take for somebody to have that level of confidence to say, yeah, no, this cache is gone?
Well, as we've mentioned, I think one possibility for that is if there's been an obvious change to the terrain, the location, like a construction site, like logging or, you know, a forest area, something like that. Do you think, yeah, or an item is described. Maybe there's something in the hint about under a park bench and you show up and there's no park bench. Mm. Maybe there's bolts in the ground where you can tell a park bench used to be, but there's no park bench.
Check those bolts. Make sure they're not fake ones.
That's always good. Yeah.
But valid points. Now in those scenarios, I'd still be tempted to log a DNF instead of I guess your option would be either write note like Keith said, or needs maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Starcatcher contributes, if it's a micro in a pine tree, there's a 50-50 chance of finding it. You can kind of tell when you show up, sometimes based on the terrain itself, sometimes based on previous logs, and sometimes just on the description and or hint of the cache, that there's going to require, this particular cache is going to require some dedicated, methodical, deliberate searching.
Yeah. Well, and going way back up in the chat, BC Rockcrawler says, totally agree. Just log the dang DNF.
That's right. That's right.
I think maybe that's the summary for the show.
Yeah. Photos in the cache page, as Keats94 says, will help answer the question where something is. I'll look through there. You look at it and you go, oh, it's a bison tube. Oh, or contrary to that, they've got a large-ish Tupperware in their hands. Well, I'm going to stop looking, you know, underneath fence rails or something, because it won't fit there.
Yep.
And places like that, these, okay, clearly this is just me. I just can't find it today. And there's been many a cache has fallen into that category of, I'm sure it's there. It's just not my day to find it.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, you know, this has been fun. I think we've kind of exhausted that topic for tonight. We're going to move on shortly into the after show, but there's been lots of great content in the chat. You guys have been awesome tonight. Keep it up. Don't stop. We're going to keep going. But first I wanted to just thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Caching in the Northwest and this discussion about DNFs. Now what? we're going to continue the theme about sort of, in a way you could suggest that these are introductory geocaching topics in so far as we're talking about things like, should you log a DNF? But it also opens up for really great debate on some topics. So we're having fun talking about these things. We've got some more that we're going to talk about and a bunch of other topics and ideas that are coming up in upcoming shows.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of upcoming shows,
yeah,
just to give you a little teaser for the next couple episodes, on April 19th, we're going to talk about managing your caching stats. And, you know, who doesn't love statistics? You know, I do. And I'm not even, it's about the numbers guy. But the statistics are just kind of fun to look at sometimes. Who doesn't love a good chart or graph?
There you go.
Now, the following week, April 26th, that's episode 248. We're going to talk about top caching tips for right here in the city I live and caching in the Northwest lives, Tacoma, Washington.
Nice.
And I have to say, I did talk to Chris of the Northwest and suggest that we push this episode off a few so that it was episode number 253, because that is the area code for Tacoma.
You know what?
I don't know if logistically that'll work out. Stay tuned. Things are in flux.
I think we may have done that, and I think I just didn't update that in the show notes. So stay tuned.
Regardless of that, one of these days, and not too far away, we're going to talk about Tacoma.
Absolutely, we are. We're looking forward to that for sure. And hey, you know what? If you are listening live tonight, you listen to us right now, but you also like to download the podcast, good news. They are popping back up in the download feed. I think I've got about 3 or 4 of them in there so far. They'll keep coming over the weekend and through next week. We're going to get you guys all caught up. So thank you for your patience.
Thanks for digging in and repairing that. I didn't even realize it wasn't working because, oddly enough, I don't download our podcast. I'm here Thursday nights.
Yeah.
And I don't go download it. So that's one of those things, very much like a DNF. If something ain't working right, folks, please let us know. Don't just assume that we know, because, you know, I don't know squat.
Well, something else I want to thank folks about. I want to thank our Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much. And folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, make sure you click that Patreon link on the CachingW.com website. But wait, there's more. Not only do we have our Denali level supporters that we love every one of our patrons. And those folks are Curiosity Girl, B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acrodoc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, Anteus. Rats, I couldn't do it. 94.
Way to go, guys.
You got the breath.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you to each and every one of you. And thank you for those of you that are listening and don't contribute to, but we appreciate you too.
Absolutely. All right. So my friend, until next week, where can people find you?
Right here on Thursday night is really the best place. But between now and next Thursday night, shoot me a message, geocaching.com, Twitter, Facebook. I'm Wits End on all those locations. That's the only handle on the podcast with a Z right smack in the middle.
There you go.
How about you, sir?
For me, you know, folks, you can find me at landmonkey.blogspot.ca, but the best place to find us is Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at landmonkeygc. It's like right up there, right there. Ooh. At landmonkeygc.
And for those of you listening at home with the audio version, Landmonkey just gestured to a sign over his shoulder.
Descriptive audio.
That's right.
And of course, on YouTube, we just released last weekend a new episode of the Land Monkeys Geocaching Adventure. So always encourage you to check us out on YouTube as well. All right.
And we want to thank you. Yes, you. All of you. Whether your eyes are open or shut, for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. You know, you can be part of this show. Yes, you can. Give us a call. 253-693-TFTC. Leave us a comment. Ask us a question. Join us on a hike anytime, day or night. Of course, you can email us. That's feedback@cachingnw.com. And your support helps to keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, would you please go click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website? You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and many more podcast platforms. This show, this very show, all the episodes are produced by Chris Empanari and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris J and some other guy. This show is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Empanari. Thanks all. And hang out a little bit. We're going to chat a little thing a bit and a thing we call an after show. That's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah. The
after show. Whoa. Okay. Stop that.
I'm loopy.
You are loopy.
Oh, wait. Not me.
All right, guys. That was fun.
That was fun.
All right. So let's see. What do we got going on here? Oh, wow. Look at all this stuff here. I got to clean this up. So what happens when you copy and paste show notes and don't realize that you copy and pasted all kinds of stuff that you didn't realize was in there? Let me clean that out. All right.
I had to chuckle because I totally made up the scenario in my head about a missing park bench. And IHAM says, you just described the last cache I had to archive. The park bench met a sawzall.
Oh, no.
I had no knowledge of that situation. I just theoretically said, what if a park bench disappeared?
Wow. All right. We got a hashtag Fatas from Keats. He said it's day 190 of the old fine streak.
So, oh, congratulations. Yeah,
that's 190. Well, you're getting there, man. You're getting there. Almost halfway. No, I saw over halfway to 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's over halfway. Nice work. So grateful for new local caches. I really, really should have started the streak when I started geocaching. What everybody who's on a caching streak says. So anyways, he says 8,500 plus finds have forced me to strategize. Yeah. I think a lot of us can relate to that. And pretty much anybody who's done the, yeah, I've been caching for a while. I got about 4,000, 5,000 finds. I think I'll do a streak.
Hmm.
And there's no caches near me anymore.
I don't have that problem.
There you go. Let's roll up here. What have we got here? Keats also asked earlier, hashtag Fatas, at what point do you add a cache to your ignore list? The ignore list.
I know that Chris of the Northwest put a cache very close to his local area on the ignore list because it required scuba equipment, and not being scuba certified and not knowing anybody that was scuba certified, he knew that there's no way he's going to be able to find that one on an average caching weekend. So he put it on the ignore list because he was tired of it showing up so close to home.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be frustrating. So, yeah.
If something requires special equipment, that would be one reason.
Okay. But I think in context of what we're talking about tonight, which is DNFing.
True. Yeah.
At what point would you put a cache you're DNFing on ignore list? Honestly, I don't know if I would. I mean, I've been tempted with CHAG to put it on the ignore list, but it's far enough away from my home that it really doesn't bother me on the map.
I have a few caches that I have struggled to find that I have done the opposite and put them on my watch list because I want to know if somebody else finds this sucker.
Yeah, I think that happens more often. So I don't really put much on my ignore. I can't even think of anything. I don't think there is anything on my ignore list right now, but I might be wrong. I don't go and look at it often. Of course, I don't see those caches. So it's really
clear to me. Because you'd be ignoring them. Because
I'd be ignoring them.
All kind right. of the point.
Alpine's GC, Alpine's local cacher up here. They said, Fatas, we reached 500 milestone this week. Well, congratulations, awesome. Alpine's. You guys should call some audio into the...
Yeah, we'd love to hear about that.
All right. That's fantastic. All right. So call 253-693 TFTC or use the audio recording widget on the website.
I remember my 500th milestone. It was the original Ape Cache.
I have no idea what my 500 would be. I'd have to go back and look at my stats.
It's pretty much the only milestone I can remember. Well, and my 1,000th. That was the event that y'all threw me for my party, for my birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, the log sheet's over there.
That's right. That was fun. I'm so glad that was fun. Come down for that. All right. I am Fatas. How did Planetary Pursuit end for folks? Well, it didn't end.
That's right.
Still going.
Three more days. I might make it to Pluto. I might make it to Earth.
There you go. I've done a couple of loops. I'm convinced that Rock Chalk extended planetary pursuit so he can play and catch up with me.
Oh, because the deadline came and you're ahead of him, so he said, no, we can't do this?
Yep, we're not stopping.
I can believe that, actually. Knowing what I know of Rock Chalk and Land Monkey, you're not getting it off the hook that easy.
I'm way ahead of Ronan, but he's starting to catch up.
Yeah. In the contest, quick.
Come on.
That's what he's going to do. He's got a whole bunch of logs he's waiting to put online, and then he's going to shut the contest down the minute it ends.
Going to snipe. Boy, I hope his grandma isn't listening, because I'm going to say some mean things about him. No, that's all right. We love Rock Chalk. All right. What else have we got going on?
Talking about Ignorers, Keith says, I only added one cached Magnor list and it eventually got archived. So
there you go. Well, I guess one reason to add a cache to your Ignorer list, if there's a whole bunch of DNFs and then like needs archived or something like that. But I don't know. I find the reviewers in my area are on top of stuff like that pretty fast. So I don't even need to do that. So that's pretty good. Brylang says he's way out past Pluto with 1,308 points. Nicely done.
Nice. But it's planetary pursuit. Is Pluto a planet anymore?
Okay, so funny story. I get this phone call from my parents last night. And they're like, we're having a debate and we need you to help settle it. All right, what's up? Is Pluto a planet? So the first thought through my mind is like, are they geocaching now? Why is this coming up?
That's right.
I asked the question. I said, why are you asking? And my dad's response is, don't answer a question with a question. It's a little planet.
That's totally a dad statement.
So yeah, we ended up having a fun family discussion about Pluto. I explained to him that it's a dwarf planet. So you can find it hanging out in the forest wearing a funny hat with six other planets.
Sure.
And what was the funniest part about that is I actually had to repeat that before he got it. So that's kind of feeling sad for my dad, but that's okay. This is the podcast where I get to beat on my dad because he never listens to it. So this is awesome.
Oh,
all right.
That's what you think.
That's that'll change tonight.
That's right.
What do we got? What do we got? Start cacher for DNFs. After two or three DNFs, I ask for a hint from a geo friend or the most recent finder. I think that's reasonable. It's totally reasonable. Alpinees says, thanks guys. For the 500, kudos. Yeah, no problem, man. And he says, oh, and thanks Brylang for providing the special letterbox cache in Williams Park.
Oh, that was their milestone cache. Nice.
I guess that was their milestone cache, but I have to say, it's not Brylang's cache. I mean, he adopted it and he's maintaining it, but he didn't place it.
And he said that I didn't provide that one. I adopted it to keep it alive, which prompted the question from Alpinees. How does someone adopt a cache?
Oh, you know what? That sounds like a great topic for a future show.
Adopting geocaches.
But in simplest terms, Alpinees, there you go. Brylang just answered in the chat. You asked the previous owner to adopt it out to you. So the caveat on that is you can't adopt a cache unless the previous owner is somehow contactable.
Yeah.
And they will log into the geocaching.com website and there's a couple of buttons you hit and they can make an offer to adopt it.
Out. Yeah, you have to be able to contact the CEO. I have adopted a local cache because when I found it, it was fairly close to where I worked. And I noted in the description that the CEO had listed, hey, I can't maintain this cache anymore. If somebody would like to adopt it, please contact me.
There you go.
I said, oh, I can do that. And Brylang helpfully provided the URL geocaching.com/adopt.
There you go. Right there. So Alpinees answers your question. What else have we got? Start Cacher says his planetary pursuit is at 590 now. Congratulations.
Very good.
I've achieved the souvenirs. Well done. Well done. Keepers of the Cash Flow said they're only at 242. I imagine they're talking about their planetary pursuit Parcheesi points. And they ran out of local caches to find it. And they don't have a vehicle right now. That sucks.
That makes it a little more challenging to cache.
Sorry to hear that, Keepers of the Cash Flow. Hopefully you guys can can find a way to get somebody to give you a ride or something and get out and find a few more if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So she's going and we're now having discussions about points needed to get to Eris and that Eris is larger than Pluto. It's all right. So
size doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So I think we're good to wrap it up here with Sen. What do you think,
Mike? Yeah, it sounds like a good, it's been a great evening chatting with you. We've missed Chris of the Northwest, but we understand family obligations. Wish him well. Yes. And hopefully we'll have all of us back here next week to go caching in the Northwest.
That's right, folks. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make sure you get out there and cache safely, cache often.